This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Joe Theismann is with us at Theismann7 on X on Twitter. And I was just looking through. By the way, how are you?
I'm good, Kevin. Good to catch up with you again this morning.
It's always nice to have you on. I was looking through your latest tweets during the break, and you tweeted out, just another Grey Cup for the Argos. Congratulations. And as many times as I have talked to you, I don't think I've ever asked you about your time as a Toronto Argonaut. For those that don't know, Joe was an incredible college quarterback at Notre Dame. He was a Heisman candidate. Hence, you know, it was Theismann, went to Theismann. I think most people know that story. But your first professional football playing days were with the Toronto Argonauts in the CFL. And in your rookie year, you went to the Grey Cup game. So tell me what your memories are of those early professional days in Canada.
It was absolutely wonderful, Kevin. First of all, I wound up in Canada. I got drafted in the fourth round. It was the third pick by the Miami Dolphins, but actually it was the fourth round because they had to give up a number one to Baltimore because Coach Shula left Baltimore and went to Miami.
Right.
So I wound up
did we lose Joe?
Couldn't, because you get too emotionally involved if you try and do something yourself. And so anyway, I wound up signing with the Argonauts, had a coach up there by the name of Leo Cahill, who was quite the character, but it was a football team that was unbelievable. I mean, when I look at the Argonaut teams that I had a chance to play on, 1971, we go to the Grey Cup. 1972, I break my leg in the first game of the season against Montreal. I'm out for six weeks. I only broke one bone, the fibula. And they say it's a non-weight-bearing bone. Don't you believe that, okay? It hurts if you try and walk on it.
But was it the same leg, Joe?
Same leg, yeah. Same leg. Only one bone, though. And it was. And so I went back. I was back playing in 6 weeks. And then in my last year in 73, when, it was, again, we went back to the playoffs and the general manager was a guy by the name of John Barrow. John Barrow was a terrific player in Hamilton. Of course, Hamilton, Toronto had the same kind of rivalry that Dallas and Washington have.
Really?
Well, it would be like the Argonauts hired him as their GM. It would be like hiring somebody from the Dallas Cowboys to be your general manager in Washington. Okay. It just didn't work out. So anyway, I wind up spending 3 years up there, but I mean, we had Eric Flea Allen from Michigan State was on the team. My center was a guy by the name of Paul Desjardins, who was a PhD in biochemistry. One of my wide receivers was a guy by the name of Mike Eben, who was a PhD in Germanic languages. And then they had guys, Noah Jackson went on to play with the Chicago Bears. Ron Michalowicz went on to play with the Giants. Billy Simon was the Packers. Dave Ramey was with the Browns. Marv Lester was an All-American at UCLA. Mel Prophet, All-American tight end, UCLA. Leon McQuay, X-Ray McQuay, was out of Tampa, one of the fastest guys I've ever seen in my life. It was only 12 Americans, I believe, and then everybody else had to be Canadian. But it was an incredible team. We had a fantastic time. I love living in the city of Toronto.
Yeah.
My two older children, Joe and Amy, were both born in Toronto. What a great city. And they were 9-point underdogs to Winnipeg in the Grey Cup on Sunday. And they wound up winning. I mean, it was an incredible game. Their defense played great. I watched the game, and it was, like I say, go Argos, man. I was excited for them.
When you lived in Toronto for 3 years, was it important? I mean, we know hockey is everything, and at that point they didn't have a baseball team, they didn't have an NBA team. I'm curious, by the way, because Toronto is such a great city now, such an international city. Was it the same in 1971?
Well, you got to remember what was going on in 1971. You had protests in the United States, and it was a great city, and we were winning. And winning gets a lot of fans out. We played down by the Lake Ontario, I believe it was, and it was the old CNE Stadium. It was a fairground. And we didn't practice till 5 o'clock in the afternoon because everybody had day jobs. Well, most guys had day jobs. I was the highest-paid player in the Canadian Football League back then at $50,000 a year.
Wow.
In 1984, I was the fourth highest paid player in the National Football League at $1 million a year. Warren Moon was the highest at 1.4. So, times were very much different then. So guys had jobs. I worked at a car dealership during the day. I learned how to, lease cars and sell leasing and all that stuff. And
so, I bet you were a hell of a car salesman.
But
you could sell anything.
I think I've always been a heck of a car salesman.
I'm not saying that in that way. I'm not saying a used car salesman. You're just a real, you can pitch anything.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And but I loved it up there. I worked for a guy by the name of John Carmichael. And I love my days in Toronto. I really did. We're going to the Grey Cup. And it's interesting because, see, here, like in the Super Bowl, the cities become rivals, like San Francisco, Kansas City. People have an interest in it, but if you're in those two cities, that's where the rivalry is. In Canadian football, it's basically East versus West. There aren't that many teams. So the Western part of, like, we played Calgary in the Grey Cup, actually in Vancouver, and lost. Leon fumbled, but McQuay fumbled the ball on the 3-yard line when we were sort of hoping.
In the rain, it says. It was a downpour.
Oh, yeah. It was a miserable day, and so we wind up losing that in Vancouver. But it was, the supporters of Calgary were the entire part of the western part of Canada, and for us in Toronto, we were really the eastern part of Canada. But it was, like I said, you remember John Carlos, right? The Olympic,
yeah, of course.
Sprinter?
You're talking about 68 Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. And so he is. He comes to, he tries to come to the Canadian League, and drove up there with his, I'll never forget, somebody said he came with his Volkswagen and his Great Dane to Montreal to play with the Montreal Alouettes. But a lot of great memories up in Toronto, a lot of great friends still.
Wow, that's fascinating. The Grey Cup kind of happens every year, and the only reason I ever hear about it is because Chris Berman, during his fastest 3 minutes at halftime of the Monday night game, starts talking about the Grey Cup because he's always done something on it. He's had a fascination with the CFL. And, in ESPN's early days in the late 70s, you were already in the NFL at that time. The first football that they broadcast CFL games all summer long.
They did. And I actually, I was the emissary for the Canadian Football League. I flew to New York about every 2 weeks to promote the Canadian Football League and meet with the executives and, so we could get it on TV down here. And it's interesting, George Allen traded a number one pick to the Miami Dolphins for me to be able to join, the Redskins at that time. But yeah, it was, I loved it up there. Economically, I'd have been like Warren Moon and Doug Flutie and guys that played a long time up there had the economics been a little bit different. But at the time I was ready to leave in 73, the ownership of the Argonauts decided they wanted to economically, not pay a lot of money. So The choice was easy, but I always wanted to come back and play in the NFL. I mean, I had my eye on the NFL anyway.
It was only 3 years, and obviously what you accomplished here, you're a legend in this town. How do Toronto people and sports fans and Argonaut fans view you, you know, that are of a certain age?
They still call me Joe the Throw. That was sort of like the headlines. We threw it around all over. Remember, it was only three downs. And yeah. we threw it around all over the place. And I was very fortunate. I've been very blessed with it, whether it was Pop Warner football in South River, New Jersey, whether it was high school football, whether it was at Notre Dame, whether it was in the Canadian League or professional football. I've been blessed with offensive lines to a large degree. And, the opportunity to be able to win, and people get excited. You know, I still go back to Toronto every now and then. It isn't the young people's; it's the fathers and grandfathers that talk about the 70s and what it was like in Toronto. And now, I mean, Doug's won a championship there. You've got four or five different guys that have won championships, and of course, we finished second to Calgary out there by a guy by the name of Jerry Keeling, who was the quarterback. But it was it was a fantastic experience. The fans were unbelievable. You know, you had half the country rooting for you. You know, like I said, here you've got the city rooting for you, and then there's 31 of the teams that don't like you. But it's the fans, when we played at RFK Stadium, it was special. I mean, when they're, you know, in the NFC Championship game, when the ground is shaking beneath my feet and they're pounding on those seats and they're screaming and yelling, it was the intimacy of that stadium. That made it so interesting. I mean, it was a baseball stadium. So the stands, you know, you had about 3 feet of stands and there were the fans right there. When you went into the dugout, they were hanging right over. I mean, it was rabid. It was really cool. I mean, it really was.
I don't know if you heard the news, but the RFK site plan passed this morning in that Senate committee, which now makes it more than likely, it's still got to go to the Senate floor to get done, and then it's a matter of the team in the city negotiating a deal to put the next stadium back at the RFK site.
I think the younger people in Washington probably can't appreciate it as much as some of the older people that have been around to know what it was like to go into that stadium. And you know what they're doing now with new stadiums is they're not as big as they've been. So the intimacy is probably going to come back. You know, you're looking at, instead of 85, you're looking at maybe, well, I don't know, 60, 65,000. I don't know the number, what it would be. But yeah, I didn't realize there was as much acreage around RFK as there was. We did a thing on Peyton Place with Peyton Manning, Jeff Bostic, Larry Brown, Mark.
Yeah, Mosley. I remember. You took him into the stadium.
Yeah, we did that. Peyton came into the stadium. And I remember standing across the street and looking behind me at all the land that was there. It was the first time I'd realized that, you know, it's a very viable possibility because you need certain amounts of acreage to be able to build a stadium and handle parking and everything else. And so, you know, it would be some great memories if they did wind up going there.
Yeah, so special for, you know, people of a certain age. I mean, obviously for the players, but for people, my age, right around my age, who, you know, were in that stadium for, I mean, you mentioned the 80, I've talked about it for years now. I think it's the most electric environment for a sporting event I've ever been to. That and kind of championship fights in Vegas, there have been a couple of those, but that was, you know, I've said it a million times, you know, we were a late arriving family. My father was one that wanted to get there just as the game was kicking off. You know, we'd leave the house at about 12:20 for a 1 o'clock game. For that one, we were in our seats an hour before kickoff, and so was everybody else.
Yep.
It was amazing.
Great. You know, I drive by old RFK on my way to the stadium now, to every game
you
now.
You go to the city, yeah.
I go right through the city, right down East Capitol and drive by, and it's a very nostalgic trip for me, and it brings back some great memories of where we used to park, and after the game was over, coming out into the parking lot, and you know the walk that we had with Peyton through the stadium because he had never been there, but to picture Mark Mosley making a kick against the Giants, or you know, laying on the field looking up at that stupid clock at 10:05 p.m. the night my leg got hurt. Okay, I mean, it's just there's a lot of memories there, and then I, you know, they come back. It's wonderful.
Yeah, let's hope it gets done. All right, let's talk some football. Joe Theismann joining us. So we just did about 45 minutes, including calls, on something that Dan Quinn said yesterday. Dan Quinn, you know, in his was asked about the offensive struggles over the last 2 weeks against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and he answered the question by saying, first off, I want to say clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured right now. And so I personally believe him. I think the opponents were just incredibly tough versus the Giants and the Bears games, which were actually closer to the injury, and he played well. You're the quarterback. You know what an injured one looks like. What do you think?
He's fine. I don't see any indications of him favoring the way he throws the ball. I don't see him flinching when he gets hit. And certainly he's been getting hit. You know, and it's these last 2 weeks, you know, I mean, it's a lot of football. Jaden has started so well that you forget how young he is in this game. You forget that, you know, you're going up against two of the best defenses in football. And as a matter of fact, just as a little sidebar here, you better not take the Dallas Cowboys front lightly. They put a ton of pressure on C.J. Stroud last night. I mean, a ton of pressure. And I guarantee you, they're going to bring everything they can. Because, I mean, really, Terry's the only one that's been catching the ball much. So they're going to bring all the kitchen sink at Jaden. And I'm sure he's going to be under a lot of duress, a lot of pressure. And this is going to be a great game for him to be able to continue to grow at the position. But we forget how young he is. I mean, he's only thrown 10 touchdown passes, Kev. Six to Terry. I mean, that's, yeah. You know, you're 11 games in, you've got 10 touchdown passes. And it isn't all Jaden, obviously, but there's a growth process that goes along with it. What I noticed in the last game against Philadelphia is that a lot of the throws were low, which obviously if you're going to miss, you want to miss low, but a lot of the throws were basically low. And against Pittsburgh, he had a couple guys where maybe there were, you know, game-changing plays that could have happened. But you're going to have that inside the game. But, you know, I think we as fans and TV and everybody, we got a little ahead of ourselves with the way Jaden was playing. He was playing out of his mind. He was playing great football, but it's a long season. I mean, basically, starting with this week, the college season would be over for most teams. You know, unless you went on to the playoff, which, you know, you get the chance to do, but he hadn't really. So now you've got, you know, you've got six more games ahead of you. And physically, it takes a heck of a pounding. You know, you take a heck of a pounding. But to answer your question, I don't see anything physically wrong with him at all.
I want to ask you about a couple of plays that they run. In fact, you know, a lot of teams run. Josh Allen runs them. Kyler Murray runs them. Lamar runs them. I'm not talking about the option, the read option plays. I'm not talking about quarterback draw. I'm not talking about the scrambles. I'm talking about, and we started to first really see it with Cam Newton. You may have a memory of somebody before that, where they literally ran the quarterback like a running back. Quarterback counter, quarterback power, quarterback sweep. You know, Lamar, you know, on the two-point conversion the other day. You see Lamar on quarterback sweeps or quarterback powers all the time. And they ran three of those with Jaden the other night. Let me just tell you, I'm curious as to what you think. Those plays are guaranteed to end with a tackle in the similar way that a running back gets tackled. Not an open field slide, not a read option out on the edge. Do you like those plays or not?
No, I don't. I don't like the play. As a matter of fact, it's basically the single wing.
Yeah.
If you think about the history of football, it's the single wing. The person receiving the snap is going to run left or run right. There is no – the speed of these linebackers today, the speed of the defensive ends, you're not going to outrun them. I mean, and truthfully, what you've got is what you've basically got to a large degree blocking on the end of the line of scrimmage is a wide receiver trying to block a 240-pound linebacker who has eyes on the ball. Or possibly even the back in front of them. But any way you can force a defender to take a false step or even have their eyes go in a different direction, you gain a little bit of an advantage. But when you start running these powers, You know, and you know, Kyler does it too, and Kyler's got all these little quick moves. And you know, the thing about it is, if there's nowhere to go, and this is the thing with Jaden, if there's nowhere to go, go down. You know, line up on 2nd and 12. That's you can overcome that easily enough.
Josh Allen and Cam Newton have the build to run some of those.
Daniel Jones does it.
I'm sorry?
Daniel Jones.
Yes, Daniel Jones does it. Not anymore, but yes.
No, he won't going forward unless something happens. But no, right. I think it's part of what the coaches try and do, and every now and then you catch one the right way. But if you were to take, I think, all of the runs that we have had, like with Jaden doing that, you know, what's the average per game, per play? You know, where does it fit in?
Those plays, you know, very low. They had a touchdown run against the Cardinals on one of those plays and kind of got untouched. But for the most part, I bet it's less than 4 yards per carry.
I think it's a little bit different down around the goal line than it is in the field of play. I think it's, you know, in the field of play, you've got more people, have a little more room to be able to pursue and come up. But I guarantee you will continue, and hopefully he'll break one or two. But I think it's all part of what, you know, way Cliff calls a game. And like I said, it's, you know, when you call a game and guys are dropping the ball or not catching the football or you're missing a throw here or throw there, it changes the dynamic of what you want to do as a play caller. You know, things were, you know, we were running on through the first 8 games. I mean, we were running on all cylinders. Everything was going. Now, this is a great game for this football team to find out who they are. You know, you've played two really, really good defenses in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Now you're going to get a Cowboy team that defensively, I think, can present quite a problem. Offensively, our defense, you know, we're ranked 30th when
they
it comes to
stink
people running,
on offense,
running
Joe.
We just can't
they
stop
stink
anybody
on
late
offense.
In the game. I mean, you mean defense.
Well, the Cowboys stink on offense right now. Excuse me. Yes, the Cowboys' offense can't run the football to save their life,
and they have trouble throwing the football. I totally agree with you. But this, you don't want to have one of these games where all of a sudden, Coop rushed. All of a sudden, whoops. Okay, now you want to look like you're Josh Allen running around and doing things. CeeDee Lamb still, I think, is a great challenge for anybody. The tight ends, they incorporated a fair amount of tight ends in their offense last night. I think it's certainly a game when you look at the teams and say, you know, we're a better football team. But again, this is the NFL, and you know, they're going to ride their defense. I was watching one of the shows this morning, and you know, they have all these different segments. They have the pancake segments on ESPN, and they have some other segments on the NFL Network and stuff. And you're reaching a point of the season where when do the guys and how hard is it for a coach to keep his football team playing at a high level? We already know that the Dallas Cowboy players are frustrated. Just look at the looks on their faces.
Yeah.
And this is what you want to do. You want to make them disheartened. You want to get on them really quick and take any fight out of them that they might have left. That's the thing that you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, right last night, I just sat there and said, this, because you never say it in these games, because we know these Washington-Dallas games and the division games over the years, they get crazy. I mean, things happen that you don't expect. But Dallas is, I think Zimmer's actually the key with Parsons and some of the defenders. I agree with you that he can confuse a young quarterback like maybe Vic Fangio did to a certain degree on Thursday night. I did want to ask, but I was going to say that this is, I hate to say it, but it's a should-win game.
You hate to say it, but you know what the NFL is like. I got to get going today.
I know you do. So, I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for doing this as always. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Joe Theismann, everybody. There you go. Usually when he does that, it means he's got a 12 noon tee time that he is rushing towards. Joe plays a lot of golf. Got something for you real quick when we come back. It is a record that was broken this weekend by somebody locally. At 12, Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, will jump on with us. We'll talk Alex Ovechkin. And Eric Flack next hour will tell us more about the RFK site bill that was passed today. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com